Yeah, Rory, it's shocking. Like, I suppose, like everybody in the world now, the first thing I turned to this morning was my phone. I clicked on the Facebook app, and there it was, you know, and multiple postings that John Olomo had passed at the age of 40. You know, it's sad. I won't lie when I say that it brought a tear to my eye, because I was part of the 95 World Cup in South Africa when he was kind of launched into the world, really. We, you know, playing with Ireland, we were probably the first to see him in his prime in that World Cup. You know, at 19 years of age, and to be thrown into the world, and the impact that he had really in the modern game is probably second to none. You know, he dragged it really from the black and white era into where it is today. And you know, I don't think, certainly in my lifetime anyway, that we'll see his likes again.
As you mentioned, you came up against him in that 1995 pool game. I mean, like, you obviously knew little about him going into the match, but afterwards, did you think, like, this guy, wow?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, games of that nature, and probably at international level, you would think that a lot of homework would be done and stuff like that, but he wasn't even mentioned in any of the team meetings or anything like that. You know, we were just told that a 19-year-old was playing on the wing and that he might be an area of the field to target for us. But, you know, at the end of that game, I think what he did, I mean, I can just recall him running over Richard Wallace, going down the wing, and, you know, my first thought was, Richard, you you twat, for even him run over you. But look, obviously, you know, later on we were to find out what a player he was. I mean, 19 years of age, he's still the youngest All Black to be capped ever. I mean, he was 6'5", 19 stone, and can do the 110.5. I mean, those stats, you know, again, it's just, you know, he was a freak of nature, but in saying that, he was such a gentle giant off the field as well. I mean, I don't know if you've ever met any of the Polynesian rugby players, but they're so gentle and they're so gracious. You know, you shake hands with these guys and you'd wonder, are they actually putting any pressure on you? They're extremely religious and thankful people to be in this world. And, you know, New Zealand also lost Jerry Collins this year in an accident as well. Another fantastic All Black. So to be hit twice with travesties like this is just it would be a big shock to the country and a big shock to the rugby fraternity in general.
Just, he was a physical specimen. Like, he was 6 foot odd, like 130 kilos of pure muscle. I mean, did you get your hands on him in that game in 1995?
I don't think I did, I'll be honest with you. But I did have the misfortune of playing against him in the Sevens tournament in Hong Kong as well. Which is probably more daunting, to be quite honest. You know, you're trying to stop this juggernaut, as you said. He's 6'5", 19 and a half stone, and can do the 100 in less than 11 seconds. It's virtually impossible, even if you have the pace to keep up with him. I mean, that trying to stop that muscle bulk coming at you, and his evasive capabilities as well was second to none. You know, he had everything. He was just the perfect specimen for rugby. Unfortunately, he was diagnosed with a kidney disorder at the end of that World Cup, and it really curtailed his career. I mean, he'd 63 caps and scored 37 tries in that period. But when you look at the amount of players that are getting over 100 caps in today's rugby, it pales really compared to what he gave to the game. It's just, you know, I'm still probably a bit shocked by it. It's just everything. And, you know, I guess, you know, in the wake of the travesties in Paris, it probably hits you like a sledgehammer at times, you know, to make you realise that life isn't really as bad as you think it is. Sure. When you see someone like that, 40 years of age and such an icon of the game passing so suddenly, you know, it gives you a kick in the arse, really. And it's probably a welcome kick to some people, and certainly to myself.
Dave, he was, I suppose, the game's first real true global superstar, and he was, I suppose, almost not single-handedly responsible, but like played a massive part in getting the sport into the mainstream in the mid-90s.
Yeah, I mean, like, the game went professional after the 95 World Cup, and what an icon to really launch it into the new era. You couldn't have asked for a better person or higher quality of player to do that. But certainly, like, he was the icon. He was the star, the signature of professional rugby. And he transformed it, as I say, from the black and white era into the colour, the colour spectrum that we see today. I mean, the World Cup that has just gone, you know, it was a fantastic display of power, pace. And in fairness to England, they got the whole setup correct. You know, it was run off extremely well, and some of the tries that were scored in that game, in that World Cup were fantastic. But look, as we say, Lomu really was the catalyst for professional rugby, and what he's done for the game, you know, will and should never really be forgotten.
And when you rank him in the all-time greats, is he right at the top?
He'd have to be, certainly in the professional area. I mean, it's hard to judge someone like that against players like Willie John McBride, JPR Williams, who played in the amateur area. But certainly in the professional era, he has to be number one. And I don't think there would be any professional player out there that would question that. You know, you look at all the greats of today, and the Brian O'Driscolls, the Ronan O'Garas, these guys, like they have all contributed magnificently to the game. But, you know, if you were to ask anybody who was the greatest player in the professional era, I think everybody would say John O'Lomu. And it's just a shame at 40 years of age, like he did a huge amount of charity work in his later days, in when he wasn't able to play the game, and he was just a fantastic ambassador for the game, and he was a larger-than-life character, and never refused an autograph, never refused a picture. And that's really what legends, in my mind, are made up of, not of what they produce on the pitch, but what they produce off the pitch. Yeah. And he was always willing to stand in for a photograph. I remember when Munster played the All Blacks recently in Thomond Park, and he was there, and I remember getting caught in the lift with him. Getting caught is probably the correct word, but, you know, and I mentioned that I played against him in 95 in the World Cup, and, you know, he was so gracious, and he shook my hand, and, you know, he said he remembered the game so well, and, you know, that to me is what legends are about, not the guys who are too big or who feel they are too big to, you know, to shake your hand or to give an autograph or, you know, or for you to be pestering them, looking for, you know, a selfie on the floor. You know, he was always there. He was always willing. And that to me, as I say, is what a true legend is. Someone who's always willing to help out.
And the world is certainly poorer for his passing. David, thanks very much for talking to us this morning.
Thanks a million. Cheers, Rory. Thank you.